It is encouraging to be here tonight, to see everybody that's here. I have a message this evening that I trust will serve to be an encouraging challenge. And I've written the title of my message on the board, and it says, Facing Uncomfortable Realities. And I find that life brings some realities that aren't always comfortable. I'd like to start tonight in the book of Jonah, in the first verse, first chapter, first verse. So I'd like to start in the first chapter of Jonah. Jonah is in the Minor Prophets, kind of hard to find. So if you look just before Matthew, you'll find Jonah comes after Amos and Obadiah. I'd like to read the first three verses, and it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So we find here that the Lord gave a clear and a direct command to Jonah. He told Jonah, he said, Now I want you to go down, and I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to arise up and cry against, because their wickedness has come up before me. Did that sound like an optional suggestion? It really wasn't, was it? The Lord kind of told Jonah, this is what I want you to do here. Yet we find that what Jonah did was he attempted to sail on a ship to a place out of sight, out of mind, away from the responsibility and the reality of the responsibility that the Lord gave him. That's what the scripture tells us. Now, I don't know what you think. This is what I think. I don't think that Jonah necessarily thought that he was going to be able to go hide from the Lord so that the Lord would say, Hey, where'd Jonah go? I don't know where Jonah is. He disappeared. And the Lord's looking around and can't find Jonah. Well, I don't think that's really what even Jonah thought in his own mind. But the scripture said that he went into this boat so that he could flee from the presence of the Lord. And I think that what Jonah was really doing was he was trying to put distance between himself and the reality of the responsibility that God had given to him. And so he got on a ship and he took sail. And I want to say this tonight. The hubs of the world where the ships dock, they operate 24/7. And they're willing to pick you up and they're willing to take you to all manner of places. All kinds of ships are out there tonight. There's ships of delay. There's ships of deferment. There are ships of self-justification. There are ships where you fill in the blank. We can tell ourselves all kinds of things. And we can create all kinds of reasons to get on these ships and take off. Sometimes it's willful blindness. Sometimes you know what you've heard. Jonah knew what he heard, but he got on this ship and he decided that he was going to leave town. And he might have involved himself with another time-consuming activity. And you know, a lot of times we do that when we know there's something we should do. Have you ever find in your work that the things that you don't really want to do, it's really easy to think, well, now this thing over here needs to be done. And so you work on that, and all the while you got this thing bothering you in the back of your mind. You know you got to get that done. And then you look around, well, what else can I do? Well, this over here ought to be done. And you make yourself feel good sometimes by doing things that you believe need to be done. But really what you're doing is you're delaying and you're deferring action on the thing that really ought to be done at that time. And Jonah got on this boat and he took off to Tarshish, but it didn't alter the fact that God had given him a responsibility. God had spoken to Jonah. God had a message for Jonah, and he wanted Jonah to give that message to a people that needed to hear the message. But that can't happen when Jonah's on a boat going down the water somewhere. And that's what Jonah did. He got on that boat and he took off. And we are so good as a people to allow ourselves to become consumed with the things that the world has to offer and not pay close enough attention to what God has spoken to our hearts and our souls. The world is full of diversions. There's music to be listened to. There's things to be watched. There's places to go. You can snap your fingers and you can have just about whatever you want in front of you to learn, to apply yourself to. There's all kinds of things, and the enemy is there to get us to turn away from the things that we ought to be paying attention to and become like Jonah was, heading off in a direction that we really should not go. And when we do that, we put ourselves at risk of taking on a dim view of reality and of the truth that God wants us to get a hold of each time that we go answer the knock of diversion. And there's lots of knocks going on out there. A lot of things going out in the world trying to get our attention. There's a verse in James, the first chapter, and the 23rd verse. And it said that if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The scripture said that he's like a man, a person that hears the word of the Lord, but he's not a doer. That's the analogy that's being made. So the word of the Lord comes, that you hear the word of the Lord, whether it's a still small voice, whether it's here in church, whether it's in the word of the Lord that you're reading. If any man hear the word of the Lord, but he's not a doer, this is what he's like. And it said he's like a man which beheld his unnatural face in the glass. Is that what it said? No. It said he beheld his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. He didn't have a mask on. It wasn't somebody else's face. It was who he was. And he looked in the glass and he saw exactly who he was. And he saw that. And while he was looking at that, and while there was some recognition of who he really was, all of a sudden there was something went by in the window. Boy, what was that? Or there was a knock at the door. Or wait a minute, my alarm just went off. And all the while he saw something that needed paid attention to in the glass. But then he got sidetracked, maybe because he wanted to be sidetracked. Maybe he didn't like what he saw. Have you ever looked in the mirror and not liked what you saw? Maybe I'm the only one that's happened to. Seems like it happens more and more as I get older. You look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Well, it's easier to either dim the light. Sometimes that makes it better. Sometimes it's better just to leave. But you know what? It didn't change anything. You still look just like you did when you were looking in the glass. There might have been something that needed attention paid to it. You know, if you look in the glass and you see a swatch of about 5 hairs sticking up on your head, and and you're getting ready to go out and you're going to try to influence some people on something that's real important for them. And you get your nice clothes on and you look in the mirror and there it is. And you got to be out the door. And you know that you have such a hard time making that hair stay down. And you don't know what you're going to do about it. And so I got to get this done. I've got 1 minute to get out the door. And so you go work on that for a while. And pretty soon you've got to go because that meeting starts. Did you know that your effectiveness is going to be diminished when you get there and you're trying to portray something important that all the people can see is those swatches standing up on your head. And they see it, but you don't. Because you chose to walk away from it. You decided that for whatever reason, it was either too hard to take care of, it wasn't something you would like to, but I've tried it before, or maybe you just forgot because you let other things distract you. And so you go out and all day long, you wonder why people are looking at you like they are. And you're doing your best to get across to them, and something's getting across to them. It's just not what you're trying to get across to them. It's a whole lot more serious, folks, when it has to do with soul issues. God is so faithful to come our way, and we look in the mirror sometimes, and the Lord's Holy Spirit comes, and He says, Rod, you got a problem? Rod, there's something going on with you that's not right. You need to make a course adjustment. But you know what's really easy to do? It's really easy just to leave and walk away from the glass and go on your way and not deal with it. But did it go away? Just because you're not looking at it anymore, it's still there. You're still having to deal with it. It's still being a hindrance to you. It's still a problem. There's another verse that said in Proverbs 14:8, it said, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. I want to read that again. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. You see, a man is prudent because he has enough wisdom to understand what his way is. Do you know what your way is? Do you know where you're going tonight? It'd be a good idea to know where you're going. It's a good idea to know which way you're headed. You know, if I want to get to Kaiser tonight, but I take a wrong turn and someone says, hey, you just took the left turn, you're supposed to turn right. And for whatever reason, the way the road was, maybe it was difficult to turn right, and I would rather just not have to deal with that right now. And then something else happens and I get distracted. It doesn't matter whether I think I'm headed the right direction or not. I'm going to find myself down the road in a wrong place. Whether or not I pay attention to it or not, doesn't matter. I'm going to be in the wrong place. It's wise to understand the way that you're going. It said, but the folly of a fool is his deceit. A man is a fool because he allows himself to be deceived. Have you been deceived tonight? Do you know which way you're going? Have you ever looked in the mirror before and the Lord said something to you? You saw something? You recognized, hey, there's a problem right there. And you jumped on a ship of justification. Or you jumped on a ship of, I'll deal with that later. Delay and deferment. Or you jump on the ship, it's everybody else's fault but my own. You can do that if you want, but it doesn't change the fact that there's a problem. You still are who you are. God is so good to show us these things because God wants us to get to our destination safely. God wants you to make it to heaven. God's in the business of helping you solve the problems that you have in life. God's in the business of coming along and not just telling you what your problem is and then saying, but I don't know how to take care of that one. He's in the business of showing us our need, and then we have a responsibility. Now it's our responsibility. God's done His. He's revealed to us what I need to know about my way so that I can make a course adjustment and get to heaven because that's where I'm trying to go. And He doesn't want to tell me all about that after I don't make it. He wants to tell me about it now. And so He comes along and He speaks to us in a still small voice. Sometimes we'll open the Bible and there's a verse that pops out at us. Hasn't that happened to you? It kind of registers with you more than maybe some other verses. Lord, what's the deal with this? And the Lord's so good to come along and be faithful to show us things about ourselves. And yet we as people, when it starts to get close, when it gets in those uncomfortable areas which represent a needed course change on my part that's going to be difficult, we find reasons not to do it. And we go on our way. That's what it said, a man that looks at himself and then he goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he is. Did you know that all through the Scriptures, the Scriptures warn us and teach us to not be deceived, doesn't it? Be not deceived, it says. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time. All through the Bible you read about warnings. Don't be deceived. What's deception? Let me ask you this question. Is deception, does that mean somebody who says, I'm going south, but I know that I should be going north, but I'm going to keep going south? Is that person deceived? No, that's not deceived. How about this? How about he's going south and he thinks he's going north? And someone says, you're going the wrong direction. I am? Yeah, take a look at your compass. Pull the Word of God out and look at it. What does the compass say? What direction am I going? Oh, you're right. I'm going the wrong direction. Well, I think I'm going to go this way just a little bit longer. It's just not a good time right now to turn around. I'll look for a more convenient place to make a U-turn up here. A lot of people intend to make U-turns, and they never make them. The enemy loves to tell you there's a more convenient season. You can take care of that, and the situation will be better. It'll be an easier on-off. You won't have to worry about all this other thing. Just down the road a ways. And the U-turns never happen. And people keep going and going. And then pretty soon, you start feeling pretty comfortable with how you're driving. This feels like I'm going the right direction. The person comes along and says, hey, you're going the wrong direction. I am? Yeah. Yeah, I told you that back there. You're going the wrong direction. No, I don't think so. I think this direction I'm going the right direction. Is that person deceived? That's dangerous. It's dangerous to be in a place where you believe a lie. It's dangerous to be in the place where you have allowed yourself to turn away from truth so many times that God respects your decision to turn away from Him, and so He backs off because you don't want it. You keep turning away from Him, and so He backs off. But when truth backs away, what takes its place? Something that's not truth, deceit. Now you're deceived. Now you have people going along in the world saying, this is what it requires to be a Christian. I can do this. I can go these places. I can live my life like this because I don't feel bad about it. And after all, isn't it a hard issue? Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? I feel okay. But Did you think differently about it at some other time in your life? Were you ever warned about it? And now you feel okay. That's dangerous, folks. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. And the scripture here in Proverbs the 14th chapter said, "But the folly of the fool is deceit." That's foolish. Why do you want to be deceived? Why wouldn't we want to know the truth? Well, because it's uncomfortable. Okay, it's uncomfortable. But don't you want to know reality? Do you want to live in an other reality world that's really not reality? But you go along thinking, this is right, this is true. And it's happening all around us in the world. People are deceived and they're presenting it as truth. And the Lord said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you sow. Not necessarily what you would like it to be, but it's going to be a direct consequence of what you sowed. And if you are deceived, then you're sowing things that are based on something that's not true. And if you play this all the way out, one of these days you're going to meet the Lord. That's right. And you don't get to choose when that day is. You don't know when that is. We've been reminded in stark fashion that it doesn't necessarily happen when you get real old. It's not for us to decide that. We're going to face the Lord one of these days. Doesn't it make sense to want to be centered in truth? Doesn't it make sense that if there's things in our lives that they're not how they should be, and it's uncomfortable to think about because it represents changes, isn't this the time to make the change? I think it is, isn't it? Proverbs 28:13 said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." What's the problem? Why can't covering it up, why doesn't that solve the problem? Why doesn't that work? What does? In other words, it's still there. Covering something up doesn't take it away. You can cover stuff up if you want, but if you don't address it, it's still there. You're not going to prosper if you cover it up. It might as well look at it straight on instead of covering it up. Look, as children, you pull the little sheet over your head, the monster's still there. He didn't go anywhere just because you pulled the sheet over your head. And that little flimsy sheet that you pulled over your head, that's not helping you any. That's helping the monster. You'd be better off just looking and seeing what you need to do to get away from it. I hope the children didn't hear that. But you know, there's some soul monsters out there in the world that are after us. And we do something similar. We pull a sheet over our head. As if we don't see it, it's not there. How wise is that? Have you ever seen children when they don't like something, or when you're playing with them and they'll put their hands over their eyes and you can read up, they think you're not there because they can't see you. You didn't go anywhere. You're still there. Folks, the Lord is faithful to come along and show us things in our lives that's not right. And the enemy is coming in and doing everything he can to get us to get on a ship and take sail somewhere different than where God said you need to go. It's not going to work very well. I was going down the road one day with somebody. It was here in Oregon some time back. And we were looking at beautiful mountains, and it was a beautiful, clear day. And he wasn't from Oregon, and so I was happily showing him the beauty of Oregon, and all of a sudden I pointed over and I said, you know what that is right over there? And there's this beautiful green grassy, call it a hill. He looked at it and said, no, what's that? I said, that's a garbage pile. Planted grass over the top of it. You can cover it up with grass if you want, but there's still garbage down in there. And one of these days, when everything gets opened up, we're going to have to give an account of the garbage. We're going to have to give an account of the things that aren't based on truth in our life, that God was so good to come along and say, hey, here's a place right here. You need to make a course adjustment right here. God wants to do that for you. That's the business that He's in. You're going to get in trouble if you go down the road and you cover things up and you don't acknowledge them. God wants us to come confess them. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm going to just lay it out in front of you. David said it like this in Psalms 32 and 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgression before the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I acknowledged it. I'm just going to get it out in front. Lord, is that really me? Lord, do I really look like that? Yeah, you look like that. That's you. Are you sure, Lord? Yep, I'm sure. That's you. That's your natural face. Some people, they don't wear their natural face. And that's not them. The Lord has a way of getting right down to where we are. And He shows us, He's so good and faithful to show us who we are. Not to crush us, but it's because He's got a plan, see? The first step is to show you, you have a need. That's the first step. The second step is He wants us and He wants you to say, yes, Lord, I have a need. That's me. I got a problem. Lord, you're right. I'm going the wrong way. Sometimes the Lord's even really caring and loving and faithful to show people that are deceived. Sometimes God comes along and He reopens their eyes. In His mercy, don't count on it. But God's a good God. And if He comes along and He opens your eyes and helps you to see something, a truth that you're not following, that you didn't want to follow, that you wanted to believe something else, it was more convenient to believe something different. And everybody else around you was doing it. And they all said it was okay. And they were still professing Christianity. And they love the Lord. And they're good people. I mean, that story repeats itself over and over. And I'm not saying they're not good people. I'm not the judge. But here's what I do know. Here's the Word of God. Here's truth. And when God comes along and He says, Rod, this is you. And this is truth, and there's a gap. God wants me to say, yes, Lord, that's me. I need help. And then you see, God has this other plan that He can help us close the gap. He's not in the business of just trying to make us uncomfortable so that we remain uncomfortable and show us that I'm God and you're the created and I'll show you who's who. And I'll show you where you're wrong. God wants to restore us to a place where we can be in communion with God and at peace. And He wants to get us so that we're on the way that takes us to everlasting life. That's His plan. He paid a great price to do that for me and for you. A high price. And so when He comes along and He shows us who we are, may God help us tonight to be willing to face some of those uncomfortable realities and do what David said, the psalmist said, Lord, I acknowledge, I'm going to just get it out there. And I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to surprise the Lord by it. You're not going to lay your sin out on the altar and say, Lord, this is me. And the Lord says, oh my goodness, that is you. You have been in a sinful state. Thank you for showing me that. I will now cross you off without the saved list. If you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have known. That's not how it works. God already knows. Might as well you acknowledge it. He already knows the truth. And if you make yourself worse than what you are, He has mercy for that too. He's not going to think worse of you. He knows who you are. God just wants us to come and open up. Lord, I need help. This is me, Lord. Lord, would you show me myself like you want me to see myself and then help me to have grace? Lord, to do what I need to do, to be restored to a place of peace with you. How open are we tonight about the truths about ourselves? Are we open? Are we willing to just, Lord, this is me? Or do we tend to try to cover up and justify, allow ourselves to be distracted, allow ourselves to compare ourselves to other people that profess salvation so that we can justify what we're doing because they're doing it? Where are we tonight with these things? Do we take the time to read the name that's written on the side of the boats that we get on? You know that God wants us to take the time to understand where it is we're going. If you're going to climb onto a boat, understand which way it's going. Know where its destination is. Who here goes and pays a bunch of money to get on a boat and you have no idea where you're going? I mean, most people don't do that. You might take a fun spin, but you know where you're going to be at a certain time and place, maybe later that night. We don't operate our lives that we don't intentionally say, I'm going to pay a great price and I have no idea where it's going to take me. That's not wise. Take the time to understand where you're going, what your way is. There's a verse in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit and see what it's about. See if it's of God. Lord, I just felt pricked. Lord, there was something that just happened in my conscience. Lord, was that you? Lord, is there something about this that you're not pleased with? May God help us to live our lives like that. God sends things your way in life to get a hold of us and help us see ourselves in His mercy. And a lot of times we'll blow a bunch of things off as if, well, that was just a coincidence. Well, the Lord didn't mean anything by that. That just happened. Not very long ago, I was talking about the woman at the well. Did you know that when God asked the woman at the well for a drink, you remember that? That was the first thing He asked her. Would you give me a drink? He wasn't so interested in His thirst, in quenching His thirst. He wanted the lady to know that she was thirsty. And so He came along and in His mercy began to deal with her so that she would know she was thirsty and that she had an issue and that He was the answer to her problems. And He was. And He changed her life. The enemy says, well, you better not fess up to that one. You are really far out. You're about pretty much hopeless. This lady seemed like she was in pretty bad spot. But the Lord opened her eyes and helped her to know you're thirsty. And the Lord comes along to us sometimes to try to get us to realize, I'm thirsty. I need something. I'm not fulfilled. You remember the man that was blind? And he came along and what would you have? Lord, I'd like to receive my sight. And so, but before the Lord did that, He took the man and He walked him out of town. You think Jesus just did that because He wanted a little exercise that night? No. He wanted to take the man to a different place than what he was. Sometimes God wants to take us to a different place than where we are. Be willing to be led. Be willing to let the Lord anoint your eyes. Because God's in the business of lifting us up. God is in the business of solving the problems and the issues that we have in life. He's in the business of helping give us clarity about the way that we should take. We just have to let Him. May God help us do that. Before we close tonight, I don't want to pass over this third verse where it said that Jonah went down and he got on, found this ship going to Tarshish. And then it said, so he paid the fare thereof. He paid the fare thereof. Did you know there's always a cost associated with fleeing the Lord? He was going to go a different direction than the Lord. And before he did that, it said, and he paid the fare thereof to get on this ship that was going somewhere different from where God said you needed to go. And he paid the fare thereof. He thought that was all he was going to have to pay. That wasn't all he had to pay. He got to spend a few nights in the belly of a fish. He got to go through a storm. He put other people's lives at stake. There's always a greater cost than what you think. When you make a decision to turn away from the glass, the mirror, and God said, this is truth, this is right, and you choose to go this way, you're paying a fare, and you think you know what the cost is. But you may not realize there's some big fish out there in the sea that are getting ready to swallow you. You're getting ready to put somebody else's life at stake because you're in their presence, and the way you live your life, you influence them. Did you know that? You influence your brothers and sisters. You influence the friends that you're around. You decide you're going to go this way. We're creatures of we like to follow. We're apt to follow, folks. Why would you want to lead somebody that's impressionable down the wrong road? There's a cost associated with going a different way than truth. And it doesn't just involve you. Sometimes people say, well, it's just my life. Just don't look at me. Don't follow me. This is just me. You can say that, but it doesn't work that way. People are going to follow you. You are going to influence other people's lives. Are you comfortable with that? You comfortable with the way that you're going tonight? If you're not, God has the answer. He wants to help. If we see some rust in the body and it needs attention, you know, it's really easy to just get a rattle can out and spray paint over the top of it. That might work for a little while, but it's just going to get worse. That rust is just going to keep eating away under there. It's just going to keep causing a bigger problem than there was before. God comes along and He invites us and He says, you got a rust spot down there. And I have the answer to that if you'll let me help you with that. May God help us not to look at it and say, oh yeah, but I'm going to have to pull over and I'm going to have to be out of business for a while. It's going to be kind of embarrassing and I'm going to have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's not really, is there some easier way? No. The enemy can tell you there is. The easiest way, in the long run, the least costly. Let me say it that way. It's not always the easiest at the time. The least costly. The most fulfilling. To say, yes, Lord, I've got a spot right here that needs help. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. See, the Lord made a plan where He could send His Holy Spirit to come and began to open up our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see our need so that He could come in and help us. But our responsibility tonight is to face the uncomfortable realities that God brings before us in His mercy. That's our part. And humbly lay it out before Him, acknowledge, I got a need, Lord, would you help me? And He promised He'd help us. Come unto me. Oh, you're laboring, you got some problems, you're struggling, I've got the answer. And I just want to encourage each one here tonight. that this would be an encouraging challenge to you, that God has the answer. Let's be willing to come to Him, open up ourselves to Him as we go through life. This is a daily thing, not just tonight. As we go through life, be an open book to the Lord. And God has promised to see us safely through to the end. Pray for me. I want to be true.